I'll ask you once more, turn with me, please, to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, with God's word before us, let us just unite our hearts again around God's throne of grace and prayer. Our loving God, we thank thee for this hour in thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for this time we will now spend around thy word. O Lord, that thou will help us, that thou, Lord, would fill me with thy spirit, that thou may use me, that I would be, as was prayed in the prayer time before this service, that I would simply be thy messenger with thy message this day. O Lord, fill us all, that, Lord, thou may use, and that thou, Lord, we would hear. Help us. Be our portion, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The book of Psalms is a book that is filled with many a comfort and encouragement for the child of God. This psalm that we have read together this morning brings us great comfort and encouragement. It is a wonderful psalm from beginning to end. Multiple encouragements are contained therein. And how necessary it is that we who are saved would lay hold to those encouragements. You don't need me to tell you that this life is one with many difficulties, many challenges and many trials. We are in the midst, for some it has been, the last 2 years has been the most trying and testing times of their life. For others, they've gone through far worse, and indeed they may go through worse in the days and years ahead. And along with these difficulties, then discouragements and disappointments, with all these things, what is to be the Christian's response? What are we to do when these troubles come our way? When these troubles come our way, it is essential that we respond biblically. This morning in the Bible class, we were considering the very challenging topic of what happens to those who never hear the gospel. Those, you could say, maybe on the far side of the world, who never hear the message of Christ. And we considered that there were some who would teach that if people never hear the gospel, then they've never refused it, and then God will in some way have mercy upon them and bring them into heaven some other way than Christ. Now, that may sound like that would be nice. Wouldn't it be great that if those who never heard, that they would have a back door into heaven? But we know that is not the case. And we can use all our reason and all our logic and thinking why that would seem just and right. But see, it's our logic and our reason is irrelevant. We must always, as I said to the young people this morning, our consideration should always be, what saith the Scriptures? What does God's word have to say on the matter? Now, I'm not going to go any further into what we considered this morning, just to make that point that we should always, with everything, it shall be Scriptures that we turn to for the answer. And how this is true of our trials or difficulties, whatever you want to call them, God's word shall be the place that we would go to find the answer. And in this context this morning, as we look at this psalm, to find encouragement when we find ourselves in the most trying of circumstances. Now, that heading of this psalm that we read together this morning, and we must remember that these words are equally inspired. We are told that it is to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. Now, I'm not going to go into much detail on that heading, but simply to point out to you that this is indeed a song. This is a song that the psalmist, a song here that we can reason that the psalmist is recalling that when Jerusalem had been in a time of great danger in the past, a time that they were surrounded and under pressure by the enemy, God had gloriously preserved them by his own miraculous intervention. If you read through the psalm, we can see that. We can see the heathen raging there in verse 6, and how we see the Lord of hosts steps in. The Lord was with them. And he brings their attention to how God had been with them in the past. What the psalmist is ultimately doing here is exhorting the people to trust in God's protection, pointing to how he had protected them in the past. He's protected you in the past, he said, and therefore you can trust him to protect you now. The one who had been your portion before will continue to keep you safe. You see, looking at God's provision in the past was to give them hope for the future. And even that, what a lesson that is for us. That's what we need to do. Consider how God has been there for us in the past. And remember, as he's been with us before, he is the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us trust him for the future. You see, the psalmist would have them consider how God has been their portion in troubled times. And thus we have before us really what we could call a song of faith for troubled times. And if we were considering the whole portion together, that would be my title this morning. A song of faith for troubled times. But this morning we're not going to look at the whole psalm. We won't have the time to look at the whole psalm. And really, I want us to look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, this is our text, but really, it's not even the entirety of this text that I want us really to consider. You know, what a wonderful verse it is, worthy of our attention. Well, really, this morning, in the time that we have together, I want us really to consider just the first four words. That wonderful truth that the first four words give us. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. As these were words of reminder and encouragement for the children of God in troubled times, may we see that they are still to be received by us in the same way. May this be part of our song in the troubled times, that we may be able to sing with a heart which is trusting in God, saying, God is our refuge. Well, let us meditate on these four words this morning. Now, I have several points I want us to consider. Some of them are longer than the others, so when you hear point four and maybe even point five mentioned, please don't be worried. I don't trust to keep you longer than is anticipated this morning. But the first thing I want you to see with me is the substance of this refuge. The substance of this refuge. Now, it's a good practice and part of communication to make sure people know what you mean when you say what you say, that they understand the words that you are using. Now, I don't know if you understand my Fermanagh accent that well or not. I know when I went to Carrigary, and particularly as you stray into the Cavan area and on that way, there's what we call a pretty thick accent. And there's some words that maybe are used differently and might have a slightly different meaning. And therefore, I have to be careful that I'm taking people up the right way, and indeed they are understanding what I'm saying in the right way. And I think that's always good practice, to be clear in what we are saying, be clear in what we mean by the words that we use. Therefore, it's sometimes essential that we define the terms that we use. I think preachers can be very guilty of this. We can use terminology, very scriptural terminology, words, of course, that we should not be ashamed of using. Yet we use them sometimes without truly defining what they mean. Now, as we would look at this word refuge, God is our refuge, I don't think really there's much of a misunderstanding there. I think we do, of course, understand what it means to have a refuge. But I think it's important that we consider this word, the substance of what this refuge is, in greater detail. Because I want you to see with me. I want you to see me there's a depth to these words. And we must always, again, remember this about Scripture. There's words and there's a depth to their meaning. And we must not just take words just simply and their face value, maybe as we would use them today, but stop and consider the depth that there can be. And there is a depth to these words before us here this morning. Now, the first thing I would say to you and remind you of, that these opening words, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, these are not just poetic words. Well, this is wonderfully poetic, yes it is, but it is more than poetry. This is not just a word to sound nice and so forth and get in and just to enjoy reading. But God truly is our refuge. More than poetry, but a reality. God is our refuge. Oh, we can recite these words off by heart. Many of you, I'm sure, could recite these words off and know them well. But do we truly understand what it means that God is our refuge? Now, in the context of Scripture, what is a refuge? Well, you see, a refuge was the place that one could flee to when surrounded by dangers and enemies. And once in that place, that safe place, that refuge, there was a comfort knowing that they were protected from all outside invaders and harm. Now, I suggested earlier that the context of this psalm was Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city with a great wall, a city where people could take refuge from their enemies. You see, that is what is meant by this word. That is what a refuge is. A refuge, it is a fortress. God is our fortress. God is the one, the safe walls that we can come into and be safe from the dangers and temptations of this world. God is our fortress. Use another phrase, we could say God is our strong tower. You see, the children of Israel, when they sang these words, God is our refuge, this is a picture that came to their mind. They knew what a refuge was. And in such a way, the psalmist wanted them to see their God. And what God was to the children of Israel, dear Christian, God ought to be to us. We should all be able to say who are saved, God is our refuge. He is our strong tower. He is the place when the trials come, when we're in distress, when the enemies attack. When those things happen, we need to remember that we have a refuge in God. We have one to which we can run. Really, that is what that word is. It's a place to which we can run onto. As we think of a literal refuge, now, it doesn't have to be a fortress. It doesn't have to be a place of great walls. It doesn't need to be a fortress built with hands. But think of a little child who is afraid. What is the refuge for the child who is afraid? What refuge a child finds in the arms of its parents? Oh, there's no great wall. There's no great protection, really. But yet, when the arms of the parent comes around them, how that child is safe. And the worries, the cares, the thing that has made them afraid, it goes away. And again, our God ought to be and is such a refuge to the child of God. If you consider the words of Psalm 57 in verse 1, Psalm 57 verse 1, we read, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." You see, here was a refuge. It wasn't a place, but it was the refuge in the arms, or as it's here putting the picture of the mother hen, and God as the under that wing we can hide as the little chicks, until the calamities be overpassed. Oh, may we run to our God and see Him as such a refuge. To see God as our refuge is to see Him as the one we can run to and flee to when the troubles come in life. He is the fortress, and He is the wing of protection and comfort. Now, at the beginning, I described this psalm as a song of faith for troubled times. Can you not see, even just in looking at these four words already, how this is so? Here we were reminded in this psalm, in this song, that when we find ourselves in trouble, we have one to whom we can flee and find protection. Never, I say to you, when the troubles come your way, and we're not immune to troubles. There is those today who will preach a gospel of health and wealth and prosperity and say, if you have enough faith that you'll never have any financial problems, you'll not even have health problems, your life will be one of complete ease. And all I can say is that's complete and utter nonsense. I think every Christian can tell you that there will be trying times in life. There will be troubles. But what I say to you is, because God is our refuge, because we have a fortress and a wing to come under, we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to fear. We can hide from the storms in the cleft of the rock. Think of the beautiful, beautiful hymn, Rock of Ages, that we sing. It said that hymn, written by Augustus Toplady, no doubt you know the story of that hymn, how that man, he was caught out in the storm while traveling from a preaching engagement in England. It is said that as the storm came on, he took shelter in a gap in a gorge, and while there, he penned those initial words. You see, in his storm, in that storm, he found a physical refuge. He was able to hide himself there until the storm was past. And while there, he thought of the greater refuge. He thought of the Rock of Ages, his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, where he could hide when the storms arise. So today we have noted the substance of the refuge. Our God is a refuge, and that he is our place of safety and security and even shelter. He is our place of safety to which we can flee in times of trouble. So that is the substance of the refuge. See with me, secondly, the singularity of this refuge. The singularity of this refuge. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now here it is clear that God is our refuge. But note from these words the singularity of it. For see with me, firstly, as we consider the singularity of this refuge, see, he is our only refuge. The verse does not say God is our refuge. It does not say that God is one of many refuges, but God is our refuge. He is the only refuge. And that may be a very simple point to make to you, and you think, of course, we know that. Yes, we all know that, yet I believe each and every one of us, by our actions, clearly show that we forget that. Remember what I've said. The refuge is a place we run to when we find ourselves in need and in trouble. God is to be that refuge. Yet surely we all must confess that we have a tendency to run anywhere but to God, our refuge. When the things of life get hard, we run here, there, and everywhere, but instead of running to God, instead of running to the one true refuge, we try to find refuge in other things. We try the refuge of self-help. We think, I can get myself through this trouble. We trust ourselves. We trust in the refuge of others. We turn to friends, and of course, we should turn to friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, but ultimately our refuge is not them, it is God. We also can try the refuge of busyness. Have we not all tried that? Trouble comes into our life, and we think, if I make myself busy, I'll forget about my troubles, I'll get through all my problems. All we really are doing, burying our head in the sand, and the troubles get worse. Oh, we've somehow convinced ourselves that these temporal things can provide us rest and protection. In reality, these things are merely a distraction from our troubles. They will not give us lasting rest. True lasting rest from the dangers, trials, and troubles of life can only be found in God. But when we say God is our refuge, what we are to be really confessing is that God is our only refuge. When we say God is our refuge, it is a statement that we are going to trust in him at all times. He is going to be the one to whom we run. Now, no doubt if I asked those of you who are saved here this morning, if you believe God is your refuge, I would be very surprised if any of you said he wasn't. Yet, as I say, by our actions, we prove that we don't really believe it. For sadly, we try and find refuge in everything but our God. Oh, that we put our words into action, that we would run straight to our God in times of trouble. Let us prove to this world that God is indeed our refuge by running to him, showing the world that we don't need what they have to offer, that what they offer is only vanity, but we will run to the one who can give us help in our time of need. So there's the singularity of this refuge in the terms that God is our only real refuge. But as we consider this further, that God, the singularity of this refuge, not only is he our only refuge, but note with me, he is only our refuge. He is only our refuge. He is only the refuge of those who are his. Our text says God is our refuge. It does not say that God is the refuge of each and every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world today. He is the refuge to those who love him. Well, we see that we often fail to run to him. We've seen that we often fail to take him as our refuge. We seek help in all the wrong places. That sometimes is true. Sometimes God is not our refuge. But see, what sometimes is true for the Christian, not because of any fault in God, but because of fault in us, what is sometimes true for us is certainly and continually true for any who are unsaved today. If you are here unsaved amongst us, I have to quite clearly and say to you, God is not your refuge. Oh, you may have heard these words. You may love the Psalms. And there's many an unsaved person loves the Psalms and can recite Psalm 23 and maybe love to sing it at a funeral. They know the Psalms and maybe even know these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There's many an unsaved person who thinks these words apply to them. No, they do not. Oh, how privileged, child of God, we are. That we who are saved by His wonderful grace are His children, and therefore He is our Father, and we can run to Him. How privileged we are. And yet, therefore, we think, though, that God is not the refuge of every man and woman, that we have a wonderful privilege, yet we're not availing of it when we should. Oh, dear Christian, let us avail of the refuge that is ours in our time of need. And again, I want to speak to you who are unsaved. Oh, I say, without Christ, you have no refuge, you have no help, you have no safety. In that hymn that we've sang together, that great hymn, Jehovah Sikani, that verse 3, there's a great hymn of testimony of the journey of this sinner coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, a man who was a stranger to grace and to God. But verse 3 says, when free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety, in self could I see. Jehovah Sikani, my Savior must be. You see, maybe you think you don't need God. You think, oh, well, if God's not my refuge, so what? I don't need Him. Well, if the Lord would only open your eyes, that you would see that there is no refuge, there is no safety, there is nothing in you that can bring you help and protection. Well, you need Jehovah's account. You need the righteous Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you need Christ. You see, oh, you may think you don't need Him in life, but I trust you'll see you need Him in death. You need Christ to save you. Oh, you need Christ. You need that refuge. Not only a refuge in life, but a refuge for the salvation of your soul. Oh, may you see that you cannot, as this man was saying, he could find no help. He saw his sinfulness. He saw his need. And as you would see your sinfulness and your need, you will see that you need Christ. Oh, I pray that you would see your need of Him today. Oh, the reality of the day is that God is the refuge only of the one who belongs to Him. And that brings us really to our next consideration. Our next consideration, we've noted the substance of the refuge, the singularity of the refuge. I want you to see with me the source of this refuge. The source. In short, the source of this refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. There is no refuge without the sacrifice of Christ. Christ is our refuge through His death upon the cross. Through His death, the Christian has refuge from wrath and damnation. Oh, regardless of the trials and the troubles of life, we have the refuge from the most terrifying thing of all, the wrath of Almighty God and eternity in hell. A wonderful picture of this refuge is found over in Joshua chapter 20. If you want to turn to that portion with me, it speaks a great picture. Of course, the cities of refuge. I want to just take the time to read these verses and consider them yourself in your own time as well this Lord's Day. Joshua 20, verses 1 to 6. Says in those verses, says there, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in the city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own, unto the city from which he fled. Oh, what a wonderful provision was made here in the Old Testament. These cities of refuge that one could flee to. Well, the one who was under wrath, deserving of death, could flee to one of these cities of refuge and there know protection. And what a wonderful picture this is of we who are sinners, deserving of death and wrath, fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ as our refuge from that penalty which we deserve. Well, Christ has bore the wrath upon the cross of Calvary. He has bore the wrath of his Father that we may find refuge from it. And if we have refuge from eternal wrath and damnation, child of God, if we refuge from such awful things as that, surely can we not have a confidence and reason that we have no doubt that he will be our refuge for the little things that trouble us in life? And before I move on again this afternoon, I want again want to speak to you if you know not Christ. Again, I want to ask you, I want to ask each and every one of you, do you know Christ as that refuge in your life? A refuge from sin, a refuge from wrath. Have you fled your sin? Have you fled unto Christ, accepting him as your only refuge, as your only way of salvation? Well, there may be many troubles in life, but dwelling on to the reality that God's wrath could come down upon you at any moment without any refuge should be of greater concern to you than any trouble you're facing in life. Well, you need the refuge which is Christ. You need that deliverance from sin, which only Christ can give. And with that refuge, you have a ground of confidence to find him as your refuge in all that we may face. Well, being a Christian doesn't free you from difficulties. But I tell you, being a Christian guarantees us a refuge when every storm in life arises. And I tell you, that one can be your refuge. And he will remain to be your refuge if you would but turn to him. And this brings us to number four. We've looked at the substance of the refuge, the singularity of the refuge, and the source of the refuge. But see with me, fourthly, the sustainability of this refuge. The sustainability. By this, I want to point out to you, again, a simple but a worthy point of consideration, which is God is not a part-time God. God is not a part-time refuge. He is always there to be our refuge. Three times in this psalm, we are told of God being our refuge. Of course, that first one, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Then down in verse 7, we read, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Then down in the closing verse, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Well, that's not an accident that is repeated. It's not an accident that we're told this in the first verse, and in the central verse, and then again in the closing words. This is no mistake. It is clear the writer of the psalm, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wanted the people to grasp that God was their continual refuge, beginning, middle, and end. As he has been, as he was, he will continue to be. And as he was theirs, he will be ours. God will never cease to be the refuge of those who are his. See, our refuge, it depends not on us, but it depends on that ever-availing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me share with you another piece of evidence even from this psalm of God's continuity as our refuge. In verse 1 we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That word trouble. Here we're told God is our refuge in trouble. Now, if you were to look at this in the Hebrew, we find that this is a plural. This is in the plural. Signifying not only a one and off time of trouble, that the psalmist could say, God helped me that time. He was my refuge that time. No, God is our refuge and very present help in troubles. Every trouble, every trial, God is there to be our refuge if we would but come to him. God, who never leaves us nor forsakes us, will always be there to be our safe place to run to every time the troubles arise. Hear the words of Psalm 62, verse 8. We therefore there see God as a refuge for all times and all troubles. Well, great exhortation to leave with you this morning. The opening words of that verse, Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him. When? At all times. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. We can trust him at all times. Why can we trust him at all times? Because God is a refuge for us. Well, God will never fail to be a refuge to the child of God. Never let us trust him at all times. Now, although we haven't spent long in this point, I have one more I want us to consider this morning before we would close. Our time is almost gone. One concluding point. We've noted the substance, the singularity, the source, and the sustainability of this refuge. As we would close this morning, I want us to consider the seeking of this refuge. The seeking of this refuge. We have noted that we have, just noted that we have a sustained refuge in God. That with every trouble, God is there to be our refuge if we will come to Him. But brothers and sisters, we must realize it's one thing for us to say God is our refuge. It's another thing to actually take Him at His word and seek Him as our refuge. Oh, He is the refuge. God is that refuge. But in times of trouble, it is our duty to flee unto Him. We must seek the refuge, knowing that it will be found. As I've said already, we can seek refuge in all the wrong places. We can turn here, there, and everywhere. But God is the only right refuge, the only right place. But yet that right place of refuge must be sought by us. Again, consider that portion in Joshua chapter 20. There was designated cities of refuge. There was designated cities. It wasn't every city on the land that they could run to for a refuge. There was designated places to which they were to run, and the person must go to them. It wasn't all right for this man saying, well, there's a city of refuge up the road, but you know what, that's there. But the city being there was no good if he remained where he was. That man had to run. He had to flee to that refuge if he was to survive. We must learn to, with the same haste, flee to the refuge of God's embrace. I repeat to you in closing those words in Psalm 57, verse 1. And may we make these our prayer today. At every time of trouble, Psalm 57, verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Oh, may we do that. May we trust in God, truly mean it, seeking refuge in His wing, until whatever trial and difficulty you're facing this day will be overpassed. An unsaved one, I trust that you will take a prayer out of these words as well. Those opening words of this verse, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Oh, it is my prayer that you would cry unto God for mercy this day. That you would seek Him. That you would see His arms spread out here like the wings. And take refuge in His embrace. Oh, come to Him. Find refuge from the wrath to come. May each one of us, before we would leave this place this morning, know and trust that we have a refuge in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. May the Lord take His word and bless it to each of our hearts. Let us pray. Our loving God, Thou art indeed a loving God to us. How unworthy, how undeserving. Yet, Lord, we have a refuge. We have one to whom to flee. And Lord, we thank Thee that that refuge is through our Savior Jesus Christ, our Rock of Ages. Oh Lord, may we not try to stand and wade our way through the mire of difficulties. Lord, may our feet be found on the firm rock, which is Jesus our Lord. Hide us, Lord, in the cleft of the rock. Hide us in the refuge, which is our God. Keep us, Lord, close to Thee. That, Lord, with every trial and difficulty that comes, that we rejoice that our God is greater. Oh, help us, Lord. Be with us the remainder of the Sabbath day. Bring us back again into Thy house this evening, we pray. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.